It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, boy. Okay. There we go. That was a game, and there is the finish. And unfortunately, here on the post-game show, it is, I believe it was 41-10. I lost track and stopped keeping score, quite frankly. That's going to leave a mark. I don't believe any of the kind of expected hope for ability to kind of overcome the issues of the day really worked. But okay, guys, let's get an overall take. What did you make of that game? Olin, start us off.
Nothing, right? I made nothing of what we just watched. Everything you hoped for that they would circle the wagons, that they would come out and commit it to playing football and with details and going after the Kansas City Chiefs, and you know, Justin Fields would play better. He would play more free. He would get out there and run a little more. And obviously, when you announce that you want to do that, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to game plan for that. So they did, and they kept him in the pocket and made him beat them from the pocket. And it was just, it was expected, Pat, but it was still really hard to watch the Chicago Bears, where they are in their growth, where they are with this roster. When Ryan Poles comes out and tells you everything is all right, he must walk out and say, man, I just lied to everybody in the media. Pat, we were there when the Bears are going through a certain transition just like this, right, where we were really bad. We didn't have a lot of talent. And me and you both know better than anybody. That's why we're passionate about it. How long this takes to overcome that where you are talent-wise and to start winning games consistently in the NFL.
Yeah, it does. And to me, Olin, this was the worst nightmare that could happen after a week like they had, right? You know, Poles gets up there, and we can talk about Poles as well, because I've got some thoughts about him of being in the Kansas City building and now in the Chicago building and maybe not understanding talent as well as maybe we hope. But, you know, he came up there and talked about, hey, we have some adversity in this building. We understand that. We're gonna buckle down. We're gonna get this right. Well, no, you didn't, Olin. You talked about it. They had receivers. They couldn't line up in the right position. Still, they had still penalties. It was just the worst nightmare of what you could have after a week of all that went wrong with what Justin Fields said to the media, Coach Alan Williams, all that stuff. And it gets me thinking back to when it was the year after I retired, 2024 or 2014, excuse me, being on these radio waves talking about the 2-game losing streak they had to the Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots, and it felt that bad today where it was just, you know, they have no hope. They have no chance. And Olin, you're right. To me, it's going to take a while to get this thing going because they don't have the talent. That's obvious. You know, they're trying to swing at Big Brother there. I don't know if you saw my tweet out there that, you know, they just didn't have a chance. But overall, this week, this game, it just couldn't have gone any worse.
Yes, it's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew, and I don't even know if they make strong enough Tullamore Dew to get you over that one. it was about as lopsided a loss as you're going to see in the NFL. I get it. You know, their next up is Denver, and Denver just was beaten by a loud 70 points. I mean, this is now the Bears Super Bowl. But you've started the season 0-3. You had all the wacky Wednesday stuff that went on. And you come out of it with this. I always thought it was a little cockamamie, the idea that you were going to use that as some sort of a motivation. And I don't even know if it was distraction. You were just totally outclassed by a team, beaten in every aspect of the game, including coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys.
Go ahead, Brad.
Take it, Olin. Take it. No, man. Take it.
No, go ahead. It was losing to the Green Bay Packers 38-20, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have three double-digit losses now. You are a bad football team. You know, I know this is their hardest game on their schedule. No one's going to argue that. When you looked at it, you didn't expect much out of this. But what you wanted to see, we've been talking about this all the time, we will repeat ourselves over and over again. You wanted to see Fields' growth. He has no growth at all. Okay, none. So there were whispers all through a training camp and preseason for people who are at practices that either the defense is really good or Fields is really, really struggling with the passing game. Now we know which one it was, right? The defense is not good. The defense is not stopping anybody. They don't rally to the ball. They don't have a pass rush. Over and over again, we say the same thing about the trenches. They're all matching the trenches. They don't have a multiplier. They don't have someone who makes people on a team better. They don't look like they have that on defense either, Pat. They don't look like they have anybody on defense either who is a multiplier right now, right? And the defense, man, I mean, I'm glad they come back. I'm glad they're healthy. Eventually, man, let's pop up off the ground. Let's pop up off the ground. Let's get back in the huddle and let's get going. Let's change the standard. Let's change the attitude at Halas Hall, right?
Yep.
Let's get going.
Yeah, and there's other things. A team like this, when you don't have the talent, you've got to do all the right things, all the little things right. They came out after the change of possession. They get a delay of game. Mm-hmm. They have a first third down in the second half. They can't get the receivers lined up right. There's confusion there. You can't have that when you don't have the talent. And that, to me, that's coaching. That's also on the players. But that's everybody in the building, get it right. And it's aggravating to see that, because they know they're not good enough, but they can't get the little things done right.
312-644-6767. You would think that we would be speaking to little or no people. I don't know how many people stayed with it, but we got quite a few calls. Let's start with Steve. Steve's in Kansas City. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Glad I didn't pay any money to go watch this game. I was really, really excited about the before the start of the season. I moved here, like I told you a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't do it. And I was, one of the few people who probably stuck to watch this game, because obviously they didn't preempt a beatdown like other markets did. Let's get to the bottom of this. Matt Eberflus 100% sealed his fate today. It's not a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when Eberflus will be fired. I think he shows no leadership skills, no redeeming leadership skills of any kind. What he dealt with Alan Williams and his explanations were just a bunch of word salads and embarrassment. And it's time for Kevin Warren to step up and act like a team president. I understand his job. His job, first and foremost, is to get the stadium, first and foremost. But if the on-field product sucks like we saw today, nobody's going to go to the stadium. And I think his days as a team president, obviously, isn't always about stadium deals, talking to politicians and, business leaders locally. I think if Warren is smart, he should be allowed to clean houses, and that includes Ryan Poles. I think Poles has shown to be incompetent, and I think he is showing a lot of youth as a general manager with his decisions to spend money and drafting. I think there's a lot of flaws that I find it to be overcome.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate it. And Ryan Poles, by the way, 38 years old on Wednesday while everything was going on around him. Not a great day to celebrate. Are you buying that, guys? I mean, the Bears, one of the only teams in NFL history that have never fired a coach in season. It's hard for me to imagine them doing that at this point of the year, three games in. Olin?
I got a couple questions. What's the contract length of Eberflus and Ryan Poles?
They've never clarified what
exactly
their contract lengths
exactly
are, but yeah, you're thinking it's probably, it's got to be 4 years.
Yeah.
But it might be more. Who knows?
But again, all right, how much power are you going to give Kevin Warren? Do we know what the McCaskies are giving him? And then also, they've talked about he's got this time to evaluate everybody in the building.
Yep.
Well, right now, nobody's showing out. So everybody is failing at their job. It will be interesting to see what kind of power he has, because that's going to cost a lot of money. You've got a lot of higher-ups all throughout the organization that maybe have a longer contract as well. Is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to make an entire culture change from, the left side of the upper building to the right side of the upper building? I'm talking from management to, decision-makers with football ideas. So I don't know. I guess we'll find out if this season continues to go as poorly as it started. But I hope he has the right to do that. And I guess a lot of people right now are kind of showing that they're not good enough at their job. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we talked earlier about we hope to see Kevin Warren or somebody else higher up instead of Ryan Poles after everything that happened. Right now, if Coach Eberflus does get let go at any time early on in midseason or beyond, that to me would be more what just happened with his defensive coordinator and the product on the field, right? I don't know the whole situation there, but, you know, that happened this week. You know, Justin Fields came out, talked about the coaching. Now that you play that bad, just everything that happened, and then you put the game out there. If you're in charge at Hallis Hall, you have to get pissed off. But if you're in charge at Hallis Hall, you have to realize that you set the standard every day. Mm-hmm. That you have to set the standard in the building. You have to set the energy in the building, and you have to demand out of people, like the caller just talked about, what is the standard when we walk on the field? When I turn the film on, do I see what I want my football team to look like when they are playing football there against the Kansas City Chiefs? Because today, when you watch that game, they didn't look capable of much. They didn't look capable of much on offense, and they didn't look capable of much on defense. And it's just, as long as they've been losing, it gets really, really hard as we go on here, that they go out there after a week like that, after we're national news, after everyone, you know, is taking shots at the Bears on ESPN, basically a punchline, me and Pat included, since we are former Bears, right?
That yes,
we
yeah.
do get become part of the punchline,
sure.
And it becomes frustrating, and you want them to get it right because all of a sudden you're getting calls. What's wrong with the Chicago Bears, Olin? They're pretty embarrassing up there. Man, isn't that place on fire? These are texts you get all week. Like you have something to do with fixing it, and it gets frustrating because you do feel like you're a part of it. You do want them to win. You do want them to get moving in the right direction. But I'll be honest with you, and I've been honest before on the airways and took a lot of flack for it. We know what's wrong in that building, and it's the people who are running that building, and until they change how they run that building, they won't change the product on the field.
Yep.
There's an old Joe Gibbs saying, which is, like, you can lose a game in the NFL, it happens, you lose a game. You can lose two games because that you can gang up on, you can have an injury, whatever. But regardless of the situation, if you lose three consecutive games, someone has to go, something has to change. You have to figure out a way to change your season. And it's I'm not saying that they got to fire the coach because I don't believe they would. But what move can they make? How many injuries did they have in that game, right?
Yeah.
Jalen Jones went out with a hamstring. That doesn't bode well looking forward, and they don't really have a lot left in the secondary at this point. I just don't know how to apply the Gibbsism, or is it just not applicable to this team, Patrick?
Well,
what do you
think? Yeah, you kind of think about it that, all right, one of the moves has already been made, and he did it to himself, Alan Williams. You know, the defense has not been producing, has not been playing well under his leadership. Well, now it's Eberflus's job to step in and take over, and that's not working. So then what do you do offensively because they can't score points? You know, who's the person, Olin, you always talk about it, who's the person behind Getsy that you could put in charge and feel comfortable that say, hey, Getsy, we're going to let you go, but we're going to put somebody else in charge of Justin Fields in this offense? Is there anybody on this roster you'd feel comfortable that maybe as a young person that could step into his shoes and make a change? You know, I think what you do right now is you keep Eberflus, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. There's some changes that need to be made, especially if you go into Denver next week and get embarrassed there and lose there or lose to Denver, excuse me. Then you really got to think about it. But who can step in at those positions to really fill in for the changing the coordinators?
Yeah, it's crazy that in week three,
I know,
of this season, with all the hope that this team had, that this is the conversation that we're having. And it just goes to the fact that this starts, like, you have to be clear with people, right? It's like when they said we had no, like, we got worried, me and Pat did, and you too, Molly. We got worried in week one when they started saying we didn't have energy and our focus. Because I tell you what, man, when a team says that to me, they're talking about Monday. They're talking about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're not talking about Sunday. And now you see, however they were preparing, whatever they were doing in March, April, May, June, it didn't work.
Yeah.
That didn't work either, right? The whole time they were having this kumbaya session up there that they were all doing fine and we're moving in the right direction. We have a little more talent than last year. And look, they've been hit by the injury bug really, really hard, right? The whole left side of the line is gone. You know, like you look out there, the secondary, we talked about it last week. You're going through your damn roster. Who is that chasing the receiver? Who is that making the tackle? But we talked about this team and the depth that Ryan Poles left it with. And then you hear a play-by-play guy say, the general manager say, well, we're only about 70% there. Well, you look like you're 20. You look like you're about 20% there right now. And you have a long way to go.
All right. You're listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. We are going to take a quick timeout, and we will pick apart the rest of this story. The team will get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Maybe we mentioned the play of the game, because there was a great play made that had nothing to do with the game. We'll be back talking about all of it. It is, of course, the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew on the Score.
Third and goal. Fields rolling out, looking to make it happen. Can't get there. Inside the five. Fourth and goal coming up. And now Fields, he's a little slow to get up, taking a shot there.
Yeah, take a look here at Cole Kmet. He's going to come wide open, and he's going to be just sitting here right in this zone, right in front of him. Just throw it. He's got to settle. Justin Fields needs to throw it. Let's take a look at this hit.
Oh, he took a shot.
Oh, they're taking him out. I think he's shaken up here.
Oh, man.
DJ Moore ran into the huddle and actually grabbed Justin Fields and pulled him out of the huddle. You can see he's a little unsure on his feet.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show.
That's the last thing they need.
It's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that was one of the big, great moments in the game, I thought, where DJ Moore got his quarterback off the field. The guy looked like he was out on his feet, and they took him out, and therefore they actually attempted and made a field goal. That broke the Bears scoreless run there. And I think if they had the ball, they would have probably tried to go for it. So you get a field goal out of it, and you make sure the quarterback is preserved. And congratulations to DJ Moore. I believe he led them in receiving, guys. He had three catches for 41 yards, including their only touchdown.
You know, that's what we're talking about, Manley, right? When we talked about, we understand what Justin Fields does well. It's just not sustainable in the NFL because he will take hits like that. The linebacker, like I was watching, I think it was the first third down. They went to that three down. They spied him with the nose guard, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, man, that nose guard looks pretty fast. So I looked up his 40 time. It was a 4.7, right? Like
wow.
Nose guards in the NFL run 4.7. So that's why you just can't, Tershawn Wharton, that's why you can't just say I'm just going to run the ball with my quarterback, because he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt like you saw there in the game there. And it's just not sustainable. And that's why we keep talking about processing information from the pocket. And that was the worry we talked about in the pregame show when he said, I just feel like this information is taking my natural ability away and I can't play it all. And I just got to go out there, F it, and play. I got to be honest, Pat, man, with all the quarterbacks I played with, when they talk like that, they ended up not making it. They ended up not playing good football when they just want to, in the NFL, I just want to go. I don't want to call the protections. I just want to get out there. I just want to run the offense. I just want to run and gun all day long.
Yeah, when I heard that, that's what scared me. Because that position, you've got to know everything. You've got to know your position, 10 other guys, and you need to take that information. You need to use it all. All the great ones, they take it all. And then they go out and play, yeah, but they use that information and process it, and they make it look easy. And they get it from pre-snap to post-snap. You know, they use that information. That when he said that, that sent up a little red flag for me. And it's funny you were talking about sustaining, the word sustain. I wrote that down after that run when he got hit. I'm like, you cannot sustain that in the NFL. You can't. That's an interesting stat about that nose guard running a 4.7 40, and you're spying him with him. That is amazing. But only I got a story to tell about the DJ. It's about you, the DJ Moore grabbing Justin Fields and pulling him out of the game. I don't know if you remember it, but we're in Seattle in a preseason game. I'm covering a punt. I get just blindsided, launched, and I come to the sideline, and you and I are like talking, and you're looking at me, And you're like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And you went and grabbed, I think it was Chris Hanks, and you're like, he needs to get out of the game. Something's wrong with him. He's not speaking English. And I remember being walked back
to my reputation.
No, but it was just interesting when I saw that. I'm like, that's just what a good teammate, because you know what you're supposed to sound like, what you're supposed to look like, and he did the right thing there. And I'm glad he was able to come back in and play. It wasn't serious, but it made me think about that. That I just remember. The thing is, I can still remember talking to you, but I can't remember like putting all my words together and all that kind of stuff. And you grabbed the trainer and said, "You need to get out of the game."
Yeah,
I mean. That was being a good teammate by a guy, DJ Moore, we talked about earlier. How are we going to get him open? Are we going to motion? Mm-hmm. We move around? How are we going to get the ball to him? And the first time, I think the first catch he had was late in the third quarter on a screen. I mean, the whole game was just the opposite of what you wanted to see from the Chicago Bears. You're looking for anything positive through the whole game, and you got none of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes was back there. The commentators were talking about the whole game. Greg Olsen. And he just way too much time. He just sat back there in the pocket. He was never pressured. Guys were open. The offensive line, immediately you can't get beat by Mike Danna, I think his name is, when you're doubling Chris Jones. Yeah. You don't want Mike Danna running over your right guard. It's just not good. Like you talked about, Pat, they had confusion on silent count. That's why they had delay a game. They had confusion on who was going to tell Lucas Patrick to snap the ball. I'm wondering why Carter – last week we wondered this. Why is Carter doing the silent count when you got Cody White here on the left side of the line? The rookie right guard, I mean, the second-year right guard there for the seventh-round pick should just be in his stance worried about his job. Why is he doing the silent count? Right? Of course there's going to be confusion.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Our buddy Chris from Evanston was at the game. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I'm miserable. I mean, I had a great experience. The fans out here in Kansas City are great, but sat in the first row of the end zone. I got Kansas City fans saying, number 10 is open. Why is he throwing it to him? 87 passing yards. You talked all that garbage on Wednesday. You blamed everybody but yourself. All I heard was I didn't hear a single eye from the leader of the offense, leader of the team. I didn't hear that, and I'm not going to hear it this week, and everybody's going to make excuses for it. I told y'all before, I'm tired of the excuses. I watched the game. I'm reading the defense pre-snap and saying what I would audible to and what I would go to. And I got Kansas City fans saying, why is he not seeing that receivers wide open? So, yeah, get rid of the coach. If that's what y'all want to do, I don't think that's the problem. Get rid of the coach. Get rid of the GM. But please take this quarterback with me. I need y'all to get on there and get rid of Fields now while he has some inkling of value. Because I have seen nothing in 3 years, nothing. That says he's worth a damn thing. Michael Penix.
He finished 11 of 22 for 99 yards with a touchdown and an interception, and he carried the ball 11 times for 47 yards. That's not a great day of production from the offense. Let's put it that way. They did not get it done in any way, and I'm not just blaming the quarterback. I'm saying the offense itself did not produce.
Yeah, it's
you look. Go ahead, Pat. If you look at these three games, you say, look, I'm making my decisions off these three games and last year. Then yes, Justin Fields is not your guy, right? He is not seeing the field from the pocket right now. Every time you look at the play, it's like someone points out. The tight end is open right here. Greg Olsen, who never takes his eyes off the tight end, knew that he was open there in the end zone. So we go through this every game, Pat. Every game we're going through this now, and we're going to continue to see it, especially we talked about. This is a hard place to play against Spagnuolo, right? Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator for the Chiefs. That guy is very, very good. His defense playing is at a high level right now. They got Chris Jones back. You knew this was going to be a tough challenge. That is not the problem. The problem is this offense is not getting better, and more importantly and critically, the quarterback is playing worse football than he was last year.
Yeah, I think what's happening too is we're finding the answer. This year we went into this season wanting to know what Justin Fields was. Is he the future? Do we invest in him? Do we build the team around him? And so far, that stat line you read there, Mully, it's disgusting, right? And we've seen too many of those, read too many of those, watched too many of those, and they're not getting better. And Olin, you talked about a quarterback being a multiplier. That's the kind of a player that can overcome adversity, can overcome bad coaching, can overcome poor blocking. He's not doing that either. And that just tells me that it's proving to me these last 2.5 years that he's not the one, and he's trending in that direction. But maybe that helps the Bears in the long run realize that, you know, we're not going to stick with him. We got to move on, and we got to do another rebuild, which is what you hate to hear, with another maybe drafted quarterback early in the NFL, in the draft.
All right, let's try Joe. He's in Montana. For a second, I thought it was Joe Montana, but this is Joe in Montana. Hi, Joe.
I wish I was Joe Montana, man. That might be the only person who could save the franchise at this point. But anyways, good to hear from you guys. I've been a long-time listener of the show for almost 20 years, and some of my earliest memories from around like 5 years old were listening to you guys on the way home. So just want to say it's great to be here, and I love what you guys do. So I've got a lot of things to say just about this whole situation going on, but I wanted really to ask you guys a question because I want to hear your opinions about this. So in these previous years, especially like these past 20 years, maybe not 20 years, but if we're looking at recent Bears teams, I think one thing that strikes me as more concerning is that, what am I trying to say here?
You wanted to talk about ownership.
Don't worry, it's been a tough day.
Yeah, really. But I guess at the end of the day, it's what upsets me the most is, obviously, this is the year we wanted to see Justin Fields take a huge leap, right? And when the Bears drafted Justin, I was ecstatic because this felt completely different than any other quarterback we've had. And I thought for sure, especially after last season, watching all the crazy stuff that Justin can do with his legs and seeing at times improved passing efficiency, I thought this was the quarterback that this organization cannot screw up. But granted, I know it's year two of a very long rebuild, and Justin, he's still pretty green relatively. But in his third year, this is eerily similar to the same discourse that we had with Mitchell Trubisky. That year three, he did not rise to the occasion. And that's not to say Justin is a bad football player, but I am more concerned about the establishment around him. What keeps leading to these quarterbacks underachieving? And I guess I am just as confused as everyone else is, and I know we all want answers. So I'm curious about how much of this you would put on ownership, or who do you think is mainly to blame here? Well, I guess if we're pointing fingers.
Well, I mean, guys, let's face it. Like, the Bears haven't covered themselves in glory with their hires. They've gone of late with sort of young, unproven executives. You know, we just watched a guy for Kansas City that was available when they took Trubisky. I mean, I know we don't bring that up, and it's a tired subject, and there's no need to talk about it, but, you know, you miss on one like that, it's going to leave a mark. And that, of course, was Pace, and they let him have another bite at the apple, and he brought in Justin Fields. And I don't know where we're at with whether it's to do with it, whether the hires have been terrible or whether the way things are set up have been pretty bad. I think we've all kind of been through the meat grinder with this team, and when you look under the hood, you know that engine isn't very good and this car isn't going to go very fast. When you visit the sausage factory, you're shocked at how they actually make that meat, for God's sake.
Well, he brought up Mitch Trubisky. It's just bad, man. He brought up Mitch Trubisky, and my question is, you know, did the Bears not develop him, or was he just not that good? You know, if he was that good and went to Pittsburgh, you think that organization would figure him out and make it right, and he's not doing anything there. He's sitting behind Kenny Pickett. So is that a indictment on the coaching staff, or is that an indictment on Ryan Pace making that pick over Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? And that, could that be the same thing with Justin Fields, that maybe he's just not that good, that maybe the coaches, you know, can't help him, can't fix him. Maybe he just is what he is. And I think we're starting to see that with him in the pocket.
Yeah, you let a guy pick two quarterbacks and two head coaches, and here we are, right? But
yeah.
To the guy's point is it ownership? Is it the coaches? Is it the general manager? It just is nothing's working right now, right? Mm-hmm. And has it for a while. And it's kind of interesting to go back, Pat, and look at our time there. We lost, I was thinking about what's the worst game I lost was 49-7 against the San Francisco 49ers in 2003, right? Cordell Stewart mm-hmm. was that quarterback. But even more interesting than that, Pat, is starting from 98, we were 4-12, 6-10, 5-11, 13-3, 4-12, 7-9, 5-11. Then we finally had our first two winning seasons in year 8-9, mm-hmm. right? 11-5, and then in 2006 when we went to the Super Bowl. Yep. And if you just take a look at how long it took for us to learn how to win, how long it took guys like Brian Urlacher, Mike Brown to develop and us to learn the game. And is this where the Chicago Bears are? Is this where they are as a team? Right? Because if you look at Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, he has two offensive linemen who are in year, like 10 years plus, right? They have guys there that know how to win. When you look at the Bears locker room, when we talk about would they rally together? Would they rally together after the week they just had? Well, who was going to rally them in that locker room? Who was going to get them moving in the right direction and say, look, guys, just concentrate on the details of the game. Just concentrate on the damn silent count. Just line up where you're supposed to line up. Block the guy you're supposed to block. It's really not that hard. Don't worry about all the nonsense that goes on in this building on a daily basis. And that's when you got really worried, right, Pat? That's when you got really worried, when you took a look at that roster and thought to yourself, who was going to get them moving in the right direction? Because, like, when you were one of the older players, you had to do a lot of work in that building to get the building moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and there's a different way to do work as well. Like, you were the vocal guy out loud. Some guys got to be silent, pulling guys into the film room and doing a little extra work here and there, or just making sure they're staying on themselves or staying, on top of everything. But yeah, I just don't know who that is. And you would hope it would be Justin Fields. That's what you would hope. Mm-hmm. You would hope he would be the voice and say the right things, and he didn't last week. But you're hoping your quarterback, who you're hoping is the franchise quarterback, is that one.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. We'll be back right away here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.